Greetings, I'm Pastor Duell. I'm glad you've joined us as we're walking through the letter of the Apostle James. I want to take a final look today at the first section of chapter 5 regarding the fate of those who hoard wealth. And I particularly want to look at those final two verses, verses 5 and 6, where James writes, "You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you." I imagine this would be pretty easy for us to hear these words about those who live in luxury and immediately to think about someone else who quite likely doesn't live in our neighborhoods. You know, those folks who live in the big mansions behind gated walls, driving cars that cost more than our houses, wear designer clothes, and eat at all the fancy restaurants we can't afford. My friend, if you're tempted to go there, I want you to pause over the word self-indulgent. I decided to pause there myself, and I even looked it up. According to the dictionary, Merriam-Webster, self-indulgence is excessive or unrestrained gratification of one's own appetites, desires, or whims. Excessive or unrestrained gratification of one's own appetites, desires, or whims. That certainly expands the target to reach a lot more folks than Mr. Moneybags and his fat cat friends. My friend, we are in a culture that is all about instant gratification. Entertainment, high-speed everything, fast food. You know that while many starve worldwide, the average American spends over $18,000 a year in non-essentials. I think all of America is in James' crosshairs. I mean, we call ourselves a consumer culture, right? We live like we are walking stomachs, walking around, "Feed me." And that really is the picture James gives us when he speaks of fattening our hearts in a day of slaughter. Being in Indiana, you can find lots of cattle let loose in these lush, grassy fields, or they're penned in where there's these big troughs of the finest of grains. And the cattle eat and eat, enjoying all the gratification of this moment, never realizing their self-indulgence speeds their own demise. The faster they get fat, the sooner they get slaughtered. And in our modern day, they never see the slaughter coming. You see, the way of slaughtering cattle has changed. It used to be that the workers would push the cattle off the truck and then yell and prod them to get them into the slaughterhouse. Not anymore. Companies have learned that the quality of beef is better if the animal is not distressed. It's best to relax the cattle as they approach the slaughterhouse. So they do all they can to reproduce normality to the process, and even to keep the cattle as comfortable and contented as possible. Today, cattle are calmly led in silence onto the ramp, and they walk into what is called a squeeze chute, a device that gives gentle pressure, pressure that mimics the nuzzling touch of a mother. And they continue down this ramp onto a smooth, curving path, which gives the sensation they're heading home like so many times before. As they mosey along, they never even realize that their hoofs are no longer off on the ground. As the conveyor belt gradually lifts them upward, they're blissfully unaware. And before they can blink, a blunt tool strikes them between the eyes. They are transformed from living cow to meat, and they never suspect a thing. The pioneer of this technology calls it the stairway to heaven. I give you that graphic illustration because, friend, you and I are in great danger, and all the more if we don't realize it. Our culture offers us nonstop pleasures that are the deception of the devil, who wants to relax you and keep you comfortable as he leads you not to heaven, but to hell. A.W. Tozer writes, "I believe that entertainment and amusements are the work of the enemy to keep dying men from knowing they're dying, and to keep enemies of God from remembering their enemies." I think that's why James adds verse 6 to point us to our help. He writes, "You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you." Who is this righteous person, Joel? Well, remember, James is writing to Israelites in the first century. It's possible that some of the folks reading this letter were the same folks yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" as the righteous Jesus stood before them bound, refusing to defend himself, like a lamb ready to be slaughtered. And Jesus was slaughtered as he was lifted up on the hard wood of the cross, his arms extended in love for self-indulgent men living for this earth. And he now reigns in heaven as the risen Lord. And friends, Jesus still does not resist. He does not resist self-indulgent enemies who come to him, seeing their need of his mercy. All we have to do is see our need of him is greater than our need of anything else in this world. If we admit we're dying, ensnared by our temptations, and our only hope is his grace, friend, the Lord Jesus will embrace you. You see, he redeemed you so that he could love you. And he's inviting you to a far better feast prepared in eternity than anything you can snack on in this world. Friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.